or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Friday evening, July the 6th, 2018. Carter B. Todd is the speaker of this service teaching on the spirit of suicide.
I would not be standing here if it weren't for the Lord. Lifted me out of the pit. Kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. It's not a very pleasant topic, but one that I know that one time or another in someone's life, well, maybe not everybody, but for many, suicide will come across their minds. And we all know that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Times will come in your life when you think you just can't go any farther. And, of course, the enemy's right there telling you that you can't. And he's right there with you to push you into whatever your idea is. It's a spirit. Suicide is an evil spirit. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come," Jesus said, "that they might have life, and that they might have more abundantly." Jesus is about life and more abundantly. Satan is about stealing, killing, and destroying. Right away, we can see that suicide is a work of the devil. 1 John 3:8 tells us, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." When we join him, that should also be what we desire to do, is to destroy the works of the devil. Just because we belong to God and to Jesus does not mean that the devil won't come to tempt us. He will. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "But we'll, with the temptation, also make a way to escape." You will always have a way to escape whatever it is that Satan is wanting to drive you to. It wasn't until God put this topic on my mind that I realized that Satan tempted Jesus with suicide. I've been reading the Bible all my life, and it never hit me that these scriptures, that Satan was tempting Jesus, trying to get him to kill himself. Satan is an opportunist. He will come when you are at your lowest, when things are the worst. That's his opportunity. He waits for it, and he shows up. Satan came to Jesus when he was in a weakened condition. And he'll do the same to us. In Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry." That's a long time to fast. 40 days and 40 nights. "And when the tempter came to him, he said," now listen to this, "if thou be the Son of God." He's going to try to get Jesus to doubt who he is, and he will do the same thing to you. He doesn't have anything new. He uses the same tactics all the time. He will try to get you to doubt who you are, and he will try to get you to doubt God. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. He said to Eve, "Did God say?" Let me tell you, if Satan ever comes with a question to you, you better make sure you know the Word of God to answer him back with. If thou be the Son of God, he said, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. The definition of pinnacle is the highest point. He took him to the highest point of the temple. Many times when people kill themselves, they go to a high building, a tall building, or a bridge that's high up off of the water. Satan has Jesus at the highest point in the temple and said unto him, again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. There it is. Just throw yourself down. Jump. He's right there. If you're on the ledge, go ahead, jump. Jump. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now he's quoting from Psalm 91. I thought it was funny that Satan is quoting the Word of God to the Word of God. Jesus was the Word made flesh. And Satan's going to quote words of him. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's what Jesus wants. I mean, that's what Satan wants. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He wanted the worship that God was getting. And that got him kicked out. But he will do the same to us. He wants us to worship him instead of worshiping God. He wants us to obey him instead of obeying God. He wants us to believe him instead of believing God. Verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. In other words, he said, get out of here. And we need to learn to do the same. Get out of here, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Luke 14 of the same story, verse 13, Luke 4, verse 13, it says of the devil, he departed from him for a season. Okay? For a season. That word season means an indefinite or unspecified period of time. So you can tell him to go, and he, in the name of Jesus, let me just say, especially to the children here, that is where the power is. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I had a lady email me one time and said, well, I told him by the blood of Jesus. No. Sounds good, but Jesus said, in my name. So let's do what the Bible says. Let's do what Jesus said. In my name. That's what you have to say. So I want us to pay attention to three things. One, the devil wants to instill doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. He'll say, if you really belong to God. Can you imagine Satan trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was? I am thankful that Jesus knew who he was. And we need to know who we are because of him. If we belong to him, if he is in us, then we need to know who we are. If you don't know who you are, you will forever be ineffective in the kingdom of God. Because he'll talk you right out of it. never deviate from the Word of God. Never. But in order not to deviate, you have to know the Word of God. People will say, I need more discernment. Would you please pray for me to have more discernment? And you know what? Years ago, I used to pray for them to have more discernment. Until I saw this in Hebrews 4:12, another scripture I've read forever, not ever seen this. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The more Word you have in you, the less likely you are to be deceived. Amen. We must know the Word of God. When the FBI trains agents to spot counterfeit money, they don't study counterfeit money. They study the true thing. And the minute that counterfeit shows up, they know it. That's what we need to do in the spirit realm. We need to know the truth so that when the deceiver shows up, when somebody comes and it's not the truth, we won't believe it. And in Matthew 24, it talks about false Christ that will come. Now, I want to make this point. I used to think that meant that people would actually come saying, I am Jesus Christ. It says false Christ. Do you know what the word Christ means? The anointing. The anointed one. And there will be people coming who are anointed. False anointing. False Christ. Many will come being false Christ. And we need to be very careful about that. Because it says that if the time of that, and we listen, it's already in the world. And it's going to be so slick. Not only would it deceive the very elect, but if the time weren't shortened, it says there shall no flesh. Be safe. That's serious. And we need to be serious about it. The second thing is the enemy uses the word in a perverted way. I mean, he did quote the scripture, but for him to say, cast thyself down from this high place, no. Again, he will use the word of God ever so slightly twisted to deceive you. Another reason we need to know the Word of God. And number three, He will be back. He will be back. In Revelations it says, it was given to him, Satan, to make war with the saints. How many in here are saints? That means you have Jesus, you have received Jesus Christ, He is your Savior, and you have the testimony of Jesus Christ. See, that's not a time that's coming. It's talking about us. He's been given to make war with us. And, you know, that's why it's so important to know how to fight the enemy. Just because you belong to him doesn't mean he's not going to give you trouble. Came to my house, tore it up for a while until I understood what was happening. But when that time came, I had no clue as to how to fight the enemy. Nobody had ever taught me how to fight the enemy. Nobody even taught me that the enemy was going to come and cause me to fight. So I want to look at some Old Testament accounts of suicide. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 3, it says, Saul, he was the king, and the battle was sore against Saul. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded from the archers. He was wounded in battle. Now, for a king, that was not a good thing. He was mortally wounded, but he wasn't dead. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Because do you know what would happen to someone who killed the king? It would be bad. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell on it. In other words, Saul killed himself. Saul committed suicide. He couldn't stand the thought of being conquered. In Japan, Japanese warriors would commit harikiri, which is a warrior ceremonial suicide when disgraced or sentenced to death. Saul was defeated. He saw himself as disgraced, shamed, gave up the fight, and gave in to despair. Sometimes criminals, when they are sentenced to death, are sentenced to a life sentence. They would rather kill themselves. Even sometime before the trial happens, the person is so ashamed of themselves that they would rather kill themselves than face the people in the courtroom, the judge and the jury, and all the people in the city that come to hear and listen. In 2 Samuel 17, verse 23, this is the account of Ahithophel. He was a counselor to Absalom when he conspired against his father, King David. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, Absalom had called on him, he gave his counsel, another stepped up, gave his counsel, and Absalom took the counsel of the other person. It says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Why? Because he lost his place of prominence with Absalom. Sometimes when people lose their place of prominence, they kill themselves. He had a loss. He lost his identity as being this important person to Absalom. He had a loss of status, of prominence and prestige. He had a loss of reputation. His career was over. Fear came in. What now? What is he going to do? He has no future. Nothing to live for. He was humiliated. Absalom's choosing another counsel over his. Still happens to people today for all of those reasons. We have suicide happen in our family. My grandmother was adopted, so we don't know what happened in her ancestors, but her son, her only son, my grandmother's only son, who was my mother's brother, my uncle, was a good man. He was a Christian. I don't know how deep, but all of my grandmother's family loved the Lord. They were raised up in church, and they all had relationships with the Lord. They were all saved. And he was, at first, a coach and a teacher in high school. And then he became the principal. And then they moved him to administration. He was well known. We lived in a small town. Everybody knew my Uncle Gilbert. And then he retired. And then he kind of lost his mind. At the same time that was going on, I was going to a psychiatrist because I was losing my mind. See, it's a generationally inherited thing in our family. Suicide runs with some infirmities, like, or curses. Like if there is abortion, there's a high rate of suicide in women who have had abortions. Because when you have an abortion, there's a curse of death that comes in, and then the women or and the men who help or whatever have a curse of death, and many suicides happen maybe years later, you know, but it finally gets to them. People who have had abortions will hear voices. There is insanity that runs with abortions and also incest. But my uncle retired, and he was now kind of nobody. You know, his title was gone. His prominence was gone. Everybody wasn't, you know, all of Twitter when he showed up. Because now there's a new principal, a new administrator. Listen, whatever title you have, somebody else is going to be filling that place eventually. You can't go by titles. You just can't let that be your identity, what defines you. We need to have our identity in Christ, which is why I was going to the psychiatrist, because I didn't know who I was. I had a dream. People have dreams. They have goals. They reach those goals. And guess what? It doesn't do for them what they were looking for, because there's only one thing that can give you that gratification, that joy, that sense of accomplishment. It's not even accomplishment. It's knowing who you are in Christ. I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. I thought I was having a depression, and I was in depression. But what I learned later, as I thought about all of these things, I was actually having an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was on my own. I mean, I knew I was my mom and dad's daughter. I was Mike's wife. I was Jerry and David's sister. I was Miss Massey's granddaughter. I was the niece. I was Wade, Kyle, and Katie's mother. And everywhere I would go, that's how I would be introduced. Mike, oh, this is Mike Butod, and this is, oh, well, you know Jerry Davidson. He's the president of Bridge City Bank. And I would think, okay, wait a minute. But I started getting kind of a complex, like, I'm nobody. Am I not somebody? Nobody even, they don't even introduce me. They refer to the other person. This is Lois and Carlton's daughter. Oh, this is Mike's wife. Oh, this is so and so and so and so. And one day I just said to the Lord, am I not anybody all by myself? Who am I? I mean, I started seeing myself as all those people. But who am I really? I had no idea who I was. And that's the greatest thing that could have happened to me. Because that's when I started saying, Lord, who am I? Not just to them and them and them and them and them. But who am I to you? Where do I fit into this big picture? What am I here for? If you haven't asked God that yet, start asking. Because you're not just an employee. You're not just a husband. You're not just a father. You're not just a wife. You are a daughter or a son of the living God of this universe. And we need to know what that actually means. We have a purpose to be here, and that is to join the work that Jesus came to do. That's why he left, so he could send himself into each one of us, that we would do the same things that he does. So my uncle had this identity crisis, and then suddenly he just started acting bizarre. My aunt would come home and find him crouched down in the corner behind a recliner. It was bad. And I was going to a psychiatrist, which he didn't have the cure. But I knew enough that crazy people go to the psychiatrist. And I knew I was losing my mind. I was having thoughts that nobody should be having. And so the only thing I knew, because I didn't know what I know now, hey, I need to go see a psychiatrist. I went for 7 months. And my husband said, do you know how much money we spent for you to go to that psychiatrist? I said, yes, I do, honey. I paid $90 an hour to sit there and talk, but he would listen. I said, well, if you would have listened. Mike said, I could have only charged you $45. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes people just need someone to listen. And that's a rare quality in the world today. Rare. Listen when people talk to you. Sometimes you'll hear things they're not even saying. Anyway, my aunt and uncle went to on a vacation, on a skiing trip, and they were staying in a high-rise hotel near the ski resort. And my aunt asked him if he wanted some coffee, and she turned around to make coffee. And when she turned back around, he was standing on the rail of the balcony, like 7 or 8 stories up. And she was afraid to say anything, but she was afraid not to say anything. And when she spoke to him, he just did a swan dive. He was a diver. He was a swimmer. And there was a river beside the hotel and big boulders. And that was the end for him. And would not go for help because gossip, there would be gossip if he went to the psychiatrist. And I was going to go talk to him myself because I was going to the psychiatrist. I wanted to encourage him, go get some help. And they said, oh, you can't say anything. Nobody is supposed to know about this. That's my family. it's too embarrassing. There's pride. Pride. He died because of pride. Well, there were other issues, but pride kept him from going for help. But there is really no help. Hey, the psychiatrist gave me some pills because I couldn't sleep. I was so miserable, I could not sleep. Yet every time I would sit down, I'd fall asleep. And I had 3 babies. So he gives me these antidepressant pills. But actually, they were anti-everything. Because I took one pill and slept for 3 days. I threw them away. I said, I can't take these things. I've got babies. But, you know, Jesus healed me. That's another story, but I'm just here to tell you, Jesus is the healer. And it was like that, in an instant. Of course, I was depressed for 4 years, but Jesus was the answer. And I was looking everywhere else for help. You know what? The story of the man that was at the Pool of Bethesda. There were a lot of people there. And Jesus comes walking through there and he stops and says to the man, would thou be made whole? And he says, yes, but every time the water is troubled, everybody gets there before me and I can't get there. And the healer is right there. We need to look to the healer.
That's right.
He is still in the healing business. He's already healed. He did it on the cross. Now that's a hard one. That was a hard one for me. To stop asking for healing and receive the healing that he's already done. Start receiving it. Apply it to yourself. And then we had another suicide on Mike's side of the family. His sister. She jumped off of the tallest bridge in our area. And lots of people jump off of that bridge. It is, there is, now that when I drive over it, I am binding the strong man of hopelessness, despair, suicide, depression, oppression. I'm binding the spirits in the air and the spirits in the water because they work together. So, we need to know who we are so that we don't find ourselves being nobody and feeling worthless. And then Saul's armor bearer follows suit. Saul falls on his sword. Then the armor bearer takes out his sword and does the same. And do you know, that is something that happens in the world too. somebody will commit suicide, and there will be three or four other people that commit suicide right after that. In 1 Samuel 31, it says, when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Here again, loss of a job. He may have even been fearful that people would have thought he killed the king. Lost his identity. I mean, gosh, he was armor bearer to the king. Where do you go from there? Loss of future, loss of hope, loss of his hero. He fell into despair. Has Satan ever caused you to wish you had never been born? Or have you ever had a death wish? Satan likes to do that to people too. In Job 3:3, Job said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night it was said there is a man child conceived. That was me in my depression. I regretted having ever been born. The psychiatrist said, are you suicidal? I said, no. I don't want to die. I just wish I had never been born. My husband would be better off. My children would be better off. I knew exactly how Job felt. I didn't suffer the things that Job suffered, but I suffered. You know, when you're suffering, that's all you can see. I used to hear people say, you just need to get your eyes off of yourself and go help somebody else. I couldn't even help anybody else. Nobody would, I mean, I would not be a help in the shape that I was in. And then the tormenting thought. And that was a tormenting thought. Everybody else would be better off without you. Those are the thoughts. Those are the thoughts. Now let me explain to you the thoughts. Because when we have a thought, we think it's us having a thought. But it's not. It's an evil spirit. An evil spirit will project thoughts into your head. And then you start thinking on the thought. And then, whatever the thought is, let's just say, you should have never been born. The thought comes, I should have never been born. Then you think it's your thought. Then you don't like the thought, and then you start having a conflict with your thought. And what happens in the brain when you start having this conflict is it releases chemicals in your brain that shouldn't be there. You know, when they say it's a chemical imbalance, it really is a chemical imbalance. It's a demon, but the thoughts cause those chemicals to be released in your brain. Then when that happens, it gets into your bloodstream. Now it's traveling all over your body, and it's become a feeling. It causes you to have a feeling. And because we're human, we like to share our feelings. I always know what's going on when somebody talks to me and says, well, I just feel like this and I feel like that. I know what's going on. Because God is looking for those who will agree with His word. But guess what? So is Satan. So he projects the thought, and then we think the thought, and then later we start saying the thought, and then we're coming into agreement. When it comes out of our mouth, he's right there saying, that's what he's waiting to do, is for you to come into agreement. That's why it is so important, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and bringing every thought into captivity and casting down every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. If it is not the word of God, you better cast it down and quick, because that's what he's working on. If you think getting to a certain place in your life, accomplishing goals or whatever it is, if you're going to bring you to that place of happiness, contentment, and fulfillment, forget it. Stop working toward that and start seeking God to show you who you are to Him. Because when you find that out, it's going to change your life. People feel trapped They're miserable. There is so much misery in this world today. There's so much hopelessness and despair. I was in despair. I felt like a complete failure as a person, a wife, a mother, daughter, sister, and most of all, as a Christian. Because I knew I wasn't supposed to feel the way I felt, and I wasn't supposed to think the things I thought. I wasn't supposed to behave the way I was behaving. I couldn't do it. One time I sat there and cried the whole time. He didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. It was over. I got up and left. But before I left, he said, "Do you know why you cry?" I thought, another problem. So I went home and started asking God, "Why am I crying? I mean, I have everything I ever wanted. Why?" And then it came to me, and I told him, I said, "You know what? I know why I cry. Because the person I've always known myself to be no longer exists. And I don't have the slightest idea who I am." He reached over and made a little note. Yeah, that'll be $90. It was just an identity crisis, that's all. And then when I had the encounter with Jesus, he poured his love into me, revealed my true identity, healed of depression in an instant, instantly filled with life and joy and peace and excitement and zeal to live for him, to allow him to live in and through me. I was happy to be alive. In an instant. That's why you should never kill yourself. Because, you know, it's always the darkest before the dawn, as I say. I say to people who are depressed and everything and down and like there's no hope, I said, how do you think the disciples felt? They had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They were with him all the time. They got to experience all of the miracles. They were living. This was good. And then they see him hanging on the cross. That was a dark day for them, I'm sure. You know where they went? Since they were locked in a room for fear. That's where they were. Remember Job's wife saying to him in Job 2, verse 9, "Why don't you just curse God and die already?" How's that for a mate? Maybe the thought came to you through a suggestion or a word spoken curse. Proverbs 18:21, we all know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And let me tell you something, your words are powerful. In James, it says that the words are like the rudder of a ship. They're like a spark. They set on fire the course of nature. So whatever's coming out of your mouth is like striking a match to a fuse to a stick of dynamite. You say it. You give it life, it sets on fire the course of nature, and then it happens. That's the process. So be careful what you say with your mouth. Has anybody ever said to you, like Job's wife, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Anybody ever said to you, "I wish you were dead." Or, "Why don't you just go kill yourself?" People say stuff like this. "I'm sorry I ever had you. You were a mistake. You'd be better off dead." Those are the words from the devil. But guess what? Sometimes, depending on where we are, the devil can even use Christians. That ought not be. Now here's some New Testament examples. Remember Judas? Judas gave Jesus up for 30 pieces of silver. Of course, then he changed his mind. He went back to him, and in verse 4 of Matthew 27, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us?" It was already a done deal. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. People do things that they regret. They have remorse and guilt and shame and distress. They're sorrowful. And they decide to take their own life. A permanent solution to a temporary problem. Mark 5 and Luke 8. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read from Mark 5. This is the story of the gathering with the legion. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, verse 1, Mark 5, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the boat, immediately there met him a man, met him out of the tomb, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. That's a pretty dark place to be. He hung out in the graveyard, and no man could bind him. He had supernatural strength. And I'll tell you what, demons have supernatural strength. There's a show called Cops, and they can get somebody that's on some kind of drug, and it'll take 6 full-grown, heavy-duty men to hold down one little skinny, scrawny, strung-out guy. I mean, those demons have supernatural strength. But God has more than any demon. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. For he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying. I would say he was pretty depressed. That guy was. I cried all the time. All the time. My poor little children. I can't imagine. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom because I wanted to raise my own children. Honestly, I think they'd have been better off in a daycare, but we were a one-income family, and I couldn't afford to put them in daycare. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be well. I wanted to be whole. And it says he was cutting himself with stones. When you are in depression and when there is a spirit of death on you, there is self-destruction there. People will cut themselves. People will eat themselves into oblivion. There's all manners of self-destruction, self-destructive spirits. But this one was cutting himself with stone. There are many people that are so in so much pain emotionally that they will cut themselves to it, and it's the most perverted thing you've ever heard, because when they cut themselves, it relieves the pain, the emotional pain. Of course, I'm pretty sure it hurts when you cut yourself. That's not the answer. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, this word worship, he wasn't worshiping him as the Lord God. He was worshiping that, it means putting yourself in a posture of submission. He ran to Jesus and submitted, put himself in a posture of submission because he wanted help. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. See, the demon is speaking through the man. It wasn't the man, it was a demon. The demon was doing all these things to this man. For he said unto him, Jesus said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there, near unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the demons besought Jesus, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Now I want you to get this picture. It says, near unto the mountains. There was a great herd. It wasn't just a few. It was a bunch of pigs. I live in the country. I've gone by places where there are pigs grazing out in the pasture. They're pretty peaceful. They're happy. They're just eating and eating and eating. Rooting with their noses. They're not disturbed. And all the demons besought Jesus, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. He said, "Okay." And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. It says there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. The demons that were in that man went into the pigs, and all the pigs committed suicide. They ran violently. Suicide violent. And they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. They wanted to go see what happened. It says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed, the man that was in the tombs and everything, possessed with the demon, and had the legion sitting and clothed. They couldn't keep clothes on the man. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. Don't you find that interesting? Now, they've known about that man. He's been there forever. But yeah, they weren't bothered by him. They knew. They were used to seeing that man be like that. But all of a sudden, to see him clothed and in his right mind, you know, yeah, it scared them. You know, it's kind of like I was sharing a story with my brother. This had to do with Mike and I were supposed to go to this talk that our son was going to give in the Mormon church. He joined the Mormon church when he was a freshman in college. And Mama was not happy about it, and neither was Daddy. But we were not going to go to this service. We weren't going to go. Now, all the rest of the relatives were going to go. Didn't matter to them. But I was heartbroken over that for a long time. And my mother had called me that night and was telling me who all was coming and everything. And I said, "Well, I won't be there, Mama." She said, "Pumpkin, that is your son, and you need to be there." Well, I just get a big old lump. So I can't talk about it, Mom. Hung up. So I'm driving home, and I'm like, "You know what, Lord? I just realized I have not even asked you what I should do." First, I said, "You know, I don't want to go, but I'll do what you want me to do." And I'm not kidding. Very shortly, between the steering wheel and the windshield, I saw like a little poster about this big. It was a picture. I could have told you what the inside of the church looked like. That's not what I saw, though. What I saw was my son behind the pulpit, and Mike and I were sitting on the third row, front and center. The church had three sections like this. So I got home and I told Mike, "I'm going." I told him what I saw. So we go to the church. It was packed. And when they brought us in, they brought us along the side wall all the way to the back. And I was telling Mike, "We're not supposed to be in here. Oh, we're not supposed to be good. We're supposed to be." No. And Mike just says, "Honey, just sit down." "Okay, but we're not supposed to be sitting here. I saw where we were supposed to be sitting." So right before the thing started, a lady comes across the front of the church, and she goes to the third row in that middle section, and she says something, and they're all looking at each other, and they all get up and exit the pew, and the lady is flagging us. And when the people filed in and sat down, Mike and I were sitting on the third row, front and center. And we sat down, and I patted my husband on the leg, and I said, "Now, this is where we were supposed to be sitting." And I'm telling this story to my brother, and my brother goes, "I bet he thinks you're a witch." And I said, "You know what? That just makes me mad. You are a born-again Christian, and you're going to sit there. You understand the ways of the devil more than you understand the power of God." And you know what? That's true in the church just about. Everybody knows how the witches work and everything, because we see it on TV forever. seated in movies forever. But we don't know how God works. Ugh, that just makes me so mad. No, we need to know. We need to know. And God has gifts that He wants to give to us, and it's to use for His people. I'm His people. He used it right there to show me. No, Carla, you can do this. We went and I was just fine. You know what was interesting? The two adults that I say they gave him surrogate parents when he joined the church because his parents weren't Mormon. I really believe they did that. They were his, you know, his buds, his confidants and everything. And the man got up and he was talking and, you know, Wade talked about his mother and the man looked at me and that was the last word he could say. He couldn't talk. He got choked up and sat down. The woman gets up to rescue him. She did the same thing. And I was just fine. I'm just sitting there being me. But see, the people came and saw the guy in his right mind. And they were afraid because they didn't understand the power of God. We need to understand that God has power and He desires to demonstrate, to glorify Himself in our lives through, like me getting healed instantly. I mean, I was like a lunatic. And now I'm all happy and everything. Mike was like, what happened to you? Who is this woman? But, you know, our marriage, the depression had ruined our marriage. God restored our marriage. It's been a wonderful journey. And He wants to help you. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but He is the answer. Go to Him. He can tell you exactly what to do, exactly where to go, exactly how to do it. If you're looking for a house, He can find the house. If you're looking for a job, He knows exactly what is suited for you. If you're looking for a husband or a wife, let Him find one for you. I chased mine for 3 years and finally called Him. And then it was a nightmare. I love Him dearly. I mean, now God fixed it. Praise God. But another thing that I wanted to point out in this story in Luke 8, because it mentions a couple of things that are important here. Okay. He went forth to land. This is in Luke 8, verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had demons for a long time and wore no clothes. Do you know, I am hearing of instances of people who jump up and take their clothes off. One of them happened in a big church, somebody told me. This guy just jumped up in the middle of the church service and stripped down naked. You know what they did? They called the police. Didn't deal with the demon, didn't bind any demons, you know. We need to, you know what? We're going to start seeing things in the middle of church services. And somebody's got to know how to deal with these things. You know, when you go to a movie theater, I've been teaching my little granddaughter since she was little bitty, if you ever see anybody that you think is going to hurt you, you point your finger and you say, in the name of Jesus, yeah, don't you touch me. Amen. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Yeah. That's what you do. We can't be afraid. Amen. That's the devil's biggest thing. He uses this thing called magnification. I call it the spirit of magnification. He makes himself seem so big. And you know what? If you take a flashlight and shine it on the wall right there, and you see the size of my hand, but if you put your hand between the light and the wall, it'll be bigger than the whole wall. That's what Satan does. It says, I think in Isaiah, it says, when we see him, we're going to say, this? It's a man that made the nation to tremble? He's a bully. He is a bully. And we need to learn how to deal with bullies. God told me a long time ago, you're polite to the devil. You need to stop being polite to the devil. I was shocked, but I thought about some situations, and you know what? I have been polite to the devil. I'm not going to be polite to the devil anymore. Okay, so he was wearing no clothes, neither abode in any house. We have lots of homeless people. They just wander around. They don't live in a house. And this man abode in the tombs. So there are characteristics that we can know when someone has demons. He was bound with fetters and chains. He had supernatural strength. He didn't sleep day and night. Insomnia. In the mountains and tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. See, that's one way people will kill themselves. They slit their wrists. Self-destructive behaviors. Has devils. What is thy name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And there are many demons. They don't travel alone. They travel in packs, like wolves. Legion includes spirits of violence, insanity, death, and suicide. Satan's desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes in a time of weakness. He's an opportunist. He uses fear, that spirit of magnification. He'll use adverse circumstances, hopelessness, depression, loss. Loss of identity, a job, a future, a position, or someone that you can't live without. Sometimes people lose their lover and commit suicide. Lose their husband or wife. Guilt, regret, sorrow, distress, remorse, disappointment, broken dreams, unfulfilled dreams, word curses and suggestions. A generational curse in the bloodline. It can come down generations. It can be a result of incest. Insanity is there. Abortion spirits, spirits of murder. So, we're going to repent tonight. You know, even Christians have this way of saying, oh, I just wish Jesus would come back. That's basically the same thing. I wish he would just come back today. Why? You know, that's saying, I'm tired, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore. It's a give-up spirit. Giving up. Hopeless. Nothing's ever going to change. Let's just go be with Jesus. How do you think he feels about that? He is life, and he wants to give you life. He is the resurrection and the life. He wants to resurrect those dead places in your life. So we're going to,
I wanted to mention that the two of the side effects of psychotropic and psychiatric drugs, suicide and homicide.
Yes. Some of the drugs that they give to people who are depressed, the side effects are suicide and
homicide.
Yeah, murder or killing yourself. I always get tickled when they show this new drug on TV and then they have 35 side effects. Bleeding from your eyeballs. And I mean, it's like, oh, let's take that. And death is usually the last one. Death is the last one. Ask your doctor today. That is the craziest thing. And truly, my mother-in-law had osteoporosis really bad. They told her, suggested that she should take this injection. So she took it religiously. It didn't stop the osteoporosis. And she had a tooth that needed to be dealt with, but the dentist couldn't do it because the medicine had deteriorated her jawbone. You're going to take medicine to strengthen your bone, but it's going to deteriorate your jawbone. It just doesn't make any sense. Jesus is the answer. He is the answer to every problem that you could even think about. So whatever yours is in your life, let Jesus deal with it. So let's pray. Father, forgive me for the times that I have thought that I should just cop out and kill myself. See, this is not something your friend's going to tell you over coffee. You know, I was thinking yesterday about killing myself. Those are not things we talk about. But it comes to the mind. Like Satan will project that thought because he kills, he steals, he destroys. His ultimate goal, and I saw it in my situation, was to cause me to hate myself, which I did, to want to die, have a death wish. I just wish I hadn't been born. I knew it was wrong to wish that I was dead, but I just wish I'd never been born. So I wouldn't have to wish I was dead if I had never been born. So those thoughts will come. So Father, forgive me for ever entertaining the thought. Forever letting that thought penetrate my mind. For even coming into agreement by talking out loud even to yourself about it. Forgive me. I know that suicide is everything against who you are and what you are about. And if that spirit ever comes to me, I am going to do what Jesus did. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't have to say that, but we will say, get out in Jesus' name. When those voices start coming and talking in your ear, know quickly. Let a red flag come up. Don't even let the thought come in and start thinking about it. It's not your thought. You've got to speak to that evil spirit and tell it to go in the name of Jesus. No, I am not going to kill myself. Go in the name of Jesus. You're going to have to open your mouth and do it. You can't just think it in your head. You can't sing to it. You're not going to praise Jesus and get rid of that spirit. He says, in my name, you will cast out devils. There's a time for singing. I went to do deliverance with this lady. Well, I wasn't there to do deliverance, but something manifested, so I had no choice. And there was another lady there who totally didn't even believe in demons. And it was her friend who manifested. And I'm telling you, it startled both of us. And the lady who didn't believe it, she's run to the farthest corner of the room. And the Lord said, she's reading scripture to it. And I was binding and commanding and everything. And nothing was happening until I heard the Lord say, bind the strong man. And when I bound the strong man, she came down. You and Jesus are enough. I wouldn't say go out and do deliverance on your own. But there's going to be times that demons are going to manifest and you need to know how to deal with them. And He will help you. God will help you when you're in that. So, we have asked God to forgive us, and now we're going to cast out some spirits. First, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cover everybody here with the blood of Jesus. I call on mighty warring angels right now to come and assist. Lord, if this is a stronghold in anybody's mind, that you will help them do what they need to do to drive this thing out. When I call that spirit out, it must go. In the name of Jesus. Right now I bind and break the power of every generationally inherited curse of suicide to go. Right now I break your power and I command you to come out of God's people. Spirits of death, get out. I bind you and break your power. Death, go in the name of Jesus. Suicide, spirits of suicide, leave right now. Get out. Come on, come out of the mind. Come out of their blood. come out of their bones, that death wish, wanting to die, wishing you'd never been born, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Antichrist spirit. Suicide is an antichrist spirit. I bind it and break its power, and I command it to go right now. Get out in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of darkness. Right now, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Death and destruction, I break your power and command you to come out of God's people. Take a deep breath and blow it out. Get out. Come out. Death and destruction, spirits of darkness, antichrist spirit, death spirit, suicide spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Legion spirits, all of those that were in that man, violence, you go. I bind you and break your power. All spirits of violence, come on, manifest and go. Get out in Jesus' name. Spirits of insanity in your mind, in your bloodline, go in the name of Jesus. All self-destructive spirits right now, I bind you and command you to go. Cutting, hating yourself, What are some self-destructive things? Eating yourself into it, starving yourself, punishing yourself. Go in the name of Jesus. You know, a lot of people who have anorexia and anorexia nervosa, that is a suicide spirit that would tell them they're not worthy enough to eat. That is a death spirit. I bind all spirits. If there's anybody here with anorexia, you go in Jesus' name. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse. You know what it says in Revelation 9:6? And in those days, there will come a time in the end times when the torment is so terrible. It says that men will seek death and shall not find it, and desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now that's going to be really bad when people want to kill themselves, and they can't. They'll want to die, but death won't come. Opportunist spirits. I come against all the opportunist spirits that take advantage of us in a weakened condition. You go. Holiday spirits. Suicide is it rises during the holidays because of loneliness and despair. So I bind all loneliness and break its power. Go. Leave God's people. You don't have to be lonely. You're never alone. Jesus is with you, and He's closer than a friend. That's what he became for me. I come against tormenting spirits, all the tormentors that just drive you. I bind those tormenting spirits and command them to go in Jesus' name. All times of family gatherings, those times that you should be with your family but you're not, those birthdays that never happen, anniversaries that are never celebrated, go. All those disappointments, go in the name of Jesus. All doubt and unbelief, go right now. All doubt, if you really are, you go in the name of Jesus. Lying spirits, I bind lying spirits right now and command them to come out of the mind. Take a deep breath, go. All lying spirits, get out. Those voices telling you, you just need to leave this world. You just need to do this. You just need to do that. I command those voices to shut up and go. That's what you tell them. Shut up and go in the name of Jesus. Get out of God's people. Those voices telling you you should have never been born, that you were a mistake, that nobody loves you, in the name of Jesus, I command those lying spirits to shut up. Those voices telling you everyone would be better off without you. You're nothing but a failure. I break the power of those words in Jesus' name. You'd be better off dead. Why don't you just go kill yourself? You don't deserve to live. I break the curse of every word spoken curse that's been spoken to you in your whole life long. In Jesus' name, I break the power of that spirit of death that wants you to kill yourself. Shut up and go in Jesus' name. I come against spirits of fear. Spirits of fear. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. I speak to the tormenting spirits of fear. You go right now. Fear of loss. Fear of losing your job. Fear of losing your relationship. Losing your marriage. A loss of a position. Loss of prominence. Loss of reputation. Fear of being alone, go in Jesus' name. All loneliness, go. Fear of failure, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of the future. You know, there's things coming, and don't have fear of that. I bind all fear of the future, fear of the unknown. You go in Jesus' name. Fear of life. Go in the name of Jesus. Fear of growing old. Fear of Alzheimer's. Go in the name of Jesus. Fear of cancer. You go in the name of Jesus. I speak to all spirits of depression right now. All depression, oppression, sadness, sorrow, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power off God's people. All grief, remorse, regret, guilt, go. Hopelessness, get out in Jesus' name. All despair, giving up and refusing to go on, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All disappointment, spirits of disappointment, disappointment with yourself, disappointment with your life, disappointed in your kids, disappointed in a mentor or a pastor, I bind all those spirits of disappointment. You go, get out in Jesus' name. All distress, anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of anxiety, pressure, that's how the devil works, pressure, trouble and pressure. In this world you shall have tribulation, that means trouble and pressure. I speak to pressure to go in the name of Jesus. Financial devastation, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. The word says that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's God's word. We need to start, who was it talking about the finances? Randy. Yeah. You got to know those things so that you can come against the fear that'll come. Mental and emotional torment, you go. All spirits of mental and emotional torment, you go in the name of Jesus. Restlessness, all restlessness, I bind you and break your power. Restless leg syndrome that keeps you awake at night, just restless as being driven. There's so much stuff driving people today. There's not enough hours in the day to do what the devil wants to drive people to do. I come against self-pity. Self-pity, you go in the name of Jesus, feeling sorry for yourself. And I know that's hard not to do when you're feeling sorry for yourself. But that's a spirit. You're going to have to talk to it. Look, you spirit of self-pity, get out in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Regret, that's a big one. I should have never. I wish I had never. I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't done that. If only. Only this and only that. All those spirits of regret, go in the name of Jesus. Torment, the spirit of magnification. I break that spirit of magnification that Satan uses. It's a big old magnifying glass. You may have one little problem and he just puts that big old magnifying. That's all you can see. It's all you can think of. Keeps you awake at night. I bind that spirit of magnification and break its power. You go in Jesus' name. No rest, no peace, no sleep. Go in Jesus' name. Sleeplessness, insomnia, I break your power and command you to go. Nightmares, I speak to nightmares right now in the name of Jesus and command you to go. I break your power off God's people. Loss of appetite, not being able to eat. I break the power of loss of appetite. I break the power of overindulging. Comfort foods. I break the power of all the bondage that whatever you're in bondage to that you run to for comfort. Idolatry. I break the idolatry in Jesus' name. All alcohol addictions, food addictions. I speak to gambling addictions. I speak to addiction to Facebook and Twitter and all those things that people are so addicted to today. I break those addictions in Jesus' name. Pornography, I break your power. Watching TV, checking out, escapism, every tormenting spirit that would drive you to commit suicide, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Come out of their minds, come out of their blood, come out of their bones in the name of Jesus. Come out of every organ in their body. Death, get out in the name of Jesus. And I speak to all the familiar spirits of suicide. If it has come down the family line, every familiar spirit of suicide, I give you leave right now. Get away from them. Go in Jesus' name. And all those copycat spirits of doing it because somebody else did it, I break the power of those copycat spirits. If someone you loved has committed suicide, I speak to the spirits of shock, disbelief, horror, trauma, PTSD, and hurt. I command all of those spirits to get out in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now. I loose upon your people right now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life. Lord, I ask right now that you would anoint them right now with a fresh anointing of your life. That resurrection life, eternal life even, that we received when we accepted you as our Savior. That eternal life flows through us. Lord, let us every day thank you that we have another day. Another day. Lord, I ask you to give them joy, peace. Lord, tonight when they lay their heads down, I ask you to just give them such a peaceful night's sleep, rest in their body, restoration in their minds and in their bodies. I speak to spirits of infirmity right now to get out of God's people. We thank you that you are still the healer. You've already done it. I ask, Father, that they can receive the healing, the grace that you poured out by shedding every drop of your blood to get rid of sickness and disease, that they can receive that. I say be healed in the name of Jesus. Emotions be healed in the name of Jesus. Your mind and your mental faculties be healed in the name of Jesus. Your bodies, every organ, I speak to your bones and I say be healed in Jesus' name. Everything in your body. You know what's not right in your body? Call it out. I receive healing for it right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have not left us defenseless or helpless. And that we can call on your name about everything in our lives. I bless your people tonight, Lord. I ask you to bless them richly tonight. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.